Hello again, I'm Dr. Tony Vasillo, and I am your host, and this is episode 16 of the Ask the Doc, Life Lessons You Should Have Been Taught in School podcast. Hello again. Hey, one of my paying Patreon followers sent me an email the other day asking the question, Tony, isn't investing in stocks and even real estate a risky venture? My answer was simply this, risk is always better than regret. Today's topic has to do with how to properly evaluate a business. It answers the question, what do investors look for and how do they know exactly how much to pay for a business? Any of you out there who are an entrepreneur, who are entrepreneurial in nature, who are looking to buy a business should pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. All right. However, as always in my podcast, I always provide you with a success tip followed by a stock tip. And then we get into the life lesson in this particular case of properly evaluating a business. In the secret episode attached to this main episode, I'm going to give you the 10 key ways the wealthy multiply their riches, along with the 5 traits you need to be an excellent entrepreneur. Okay, so the success tip of this week has to do with the soft skills that you need in order to succeed in life. You should rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being you exude the trait really well. And then if you're not good at it, you should try to get some books to read or some training or some seminars or online courses, whatever you can do in order to improve your situation. Okay, the soft skills that you need, there's about 7 of them. The first one is reading body language. Remember, 55% of what you say is what you don't say. So when people receive a message, 55% of what you're saying is coming from your body language. Approximately another 25 to 30% is actually coming from your tone, your voice inflection, and even your appearance, the way you use your gestures and your hands, your posture, that sort of thing. So that means that only about, let's say, 20% of what you say is what you actually say. So we have to pay attention to body language. There's some excellent books out on reading body language. So you should take a look at that. Number 2, interpersonal skills. Making people feel at ease, building rapport. 85% of your success in life is going to come from your ability to interact with people. Andrew Carnegie said that 60 years ago. Number 3, they keep them to themselves and they never get involved in gossip or bad mouthing. Remember, character is defined as the things you say when nobody is watching. It's not what you say about me when I'm in the room that matters. It's what you're saying about me when I'm not there that matters. Number 4, they never put on airs by treating everyone the same regardless of their walk in life. They treat the janitor the same way that they treat a CEO. They also do whatever they have to do to remember names. That's an important thing. I used to use that in school as a professor all the time. I'd have 50 kids in the class. I would have them tell me their first name and their major. Then I would turn my back to them. I would tell them to move around in the classroom, switch seats, blah, blah, blah. And then I would go out and I would rattle off all of their names. And of course, that would impress the students. It was just a memory trick more than anything else. All right. Number 5, they're always learning. This is an essential soft skill. They stay abreast of global news. They try to improve their vocabulary each and every day. I've been using something called vocabulary word of the day forever to improve my vocabulary. So it's important. Number 6, they use inquiry as a communication tool. They ask tough questions and offer solutions by soliciting input from their team that they have built or put together. I might add, they actually surround themselves with a greatest CPA, great attorney, a great CFO, that sort of thing. And number 7, they hone their speaking skills by practicing, even practicing in front of a mirror. You may not like Obama or Reagan as presidents, but their oratory skills were so unparalleled that it absolutely positively impacted both of their presidencies. So learning that is important. So those are the 7 soft skills: reading body language, having excellent interpersonal skills, never getting involved in gossip or bad mouthing, never putting on airs, always learning, using inquiry as a communication tool, and honing your speaking skills. All right, next up is the stock tip of the week. It is the social media giant Meta Meta trades on the New York Stock Exchange at about $484 a share. It has doubled over the last 4 years. Meta is one of the few companies that has crossed over the $1 trillion mark in terms of market capitalization. It has a market cap of $1.23 trillion. It has a PE ratio considered a little high at 31 and a dividend payout of only 0.41%. The five-year forecast for Meta is amazing, with most analysts stating that the stock is going to hit about 620, 630 in 2025 and as high as 1,000 by the year 2030. This is a growth portfolio stock, so you stick it in your growth portfolio. It is considered one of the Magnificent Seven stocks, and you should hold on to it as it is a share appreciation play, not a dividend play. As always, seek counsel from a professional stockbroker, a CPA, as these are merely my suggestions, and I do not purport to be a licensed broker or a CPA, so get some support where you can. Okay, finally, let's get to today's topic. That is, how to properly evaluate a business or a company. Investors generally use a multiple when they attempt to buy a business. That multiple could be a multiple of what's called EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, allowances. Many investors and venture capital groups use EBITDA as the measure, while others pay more attention to top line revenue or even net income. Regardless of the buyout method being used, most investors will scrutinize the following metrics before putting up an offer to buy. I might add that before you consider buying any company, ask for 3 years worth of tax returns, 3 years worth of internal profit and loss statements, which is going to include any owner add backs for personal expenses. Then get a copy of the company's most recent balance sheet and income statement, and then calculate these ratios. First, the current ratio. The current ratio, or the ability of the company to cover liabilities with its assets, is calculated as current assets divided by current liabilities. You want that number, hopefully, to be over 2, although many extremely large companies run their current ratio a little bit above 1. The point is, you want to buy a company that has more assets than liabilities and is not highly leveraged by debt service. Number 2, the quick ratio. The quick ratio is nothing more than the current ratio of assets divided by liabilities, current assets divided by liabilities, by removing the inventory. So the quick ratio removes inventory from assets, because inventory, you get 10 cents on a dollar if you liquidate. So that quick ratio, you want that number, also expressed as a number, to be greater than 1. So you want your current ratio to be greater than 2, which is assets divided by liabilities, and you want your quick ratio, which is current assets minus inventory divided by liabilities, to be higher than 1. Then gross margin. Gross margin is calculated as revenue minus cost of goods divided by revenue. The higher the gross margin, the more likely the net income will be excellent. Shoot for at least a 30% GP, or gross profit margin. Debt to equity ratio, which is calculated as total liabilities divided by shareholders' equity. Debt to equity measures the leverage, or the debt service, meaning how much of every dollar in revenue goes to pay down debt. You should shoot for companies that have a debt to equity ratio between 1 and 1.5. Companies that have bad debt to equity ratios may not be able to generate enough cash to cover their debt obligations. So focus on that. Make sure you understand the company's debt structure. Return on equity, calculated as net income after all overhead divided by shareholders' equity. You want this to be at least 15%. If I can't get a 15% return on something, I'm going to move on to the next deal. In fact, I had mentioned to you on other podcast episodes, I'm getting 18.4 on my stock portfolio. The second portfolio, I'm getting 16.7. So I want to get at least 15%. I also have a tax-free annuity that's getting around 7.8%, but that's tax-free. So you almost double that and you're getting a 15% return. All right, return on investment, or ROI, calculated as net income divided by the assets employed. And then for publicly traded company, there's a couple of more. So if the company's traded on, let's say, the New York Stock Exchange, you want to look at 3 more measures. Price to earnings ratio, which we talked about in episode number 2. So that is basically the market share price of the stock divided by the earnings. and you want to look for stocks that have a PE ratio generally of under 15. Then the dividend yield, which is calculated as the annual dividend payout per share divided by the market price. I look for dividend stocks that pay at least 3%. Earnings per share, calculated as net income divided by the average number of shares outstanding. And you want to look for an earnings per share growth of at least double digit, of at least 10%. As part of the due diligence for any company, be sure to ask for information about any lawsuits that they might have, any open insurance claims they may have, any health, fire, or safety concerns that have been identified, and any open payables or supplier issues that you need to know about. Okay, what you're trying to do here is when you evaluate a company, make sure you are evaluating based upon the numbers, the figures, the stats, the ratios. Okay, with that, it's it for now, folks. Please remember to consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, becoming a member of my Patreon family. I would love it if you did that. As always, leave me a review, a comment, things you'd like to see, things you want less of, things you want more of, so I can help you in any way that I possibly can. Signing off, this is Dr. V, and remember, there's three kinds of people: doers, watchers, and followers. Be a doer.